We are Michael and Annika. I'm looking over them. There they are. Yeah, so Michael and Annika are, I think, first and foremost for me, they're friends. And we've just loved getting to know them over the last few years. They've been part of NCMI for a long time. And they've been elders at a church down in town and are now been fellowshipping up in Nottingham Road. But it's been lovely. They've been journeying with us here from time to time as well. And so they understand us well. And just more recently, Michael has been helping us with the application for Tumbleweed, where we're wanting to build a new church. And he's got an engineering firm. And so they've been providing that support and getting the planning approvals done. But he's also got a real heart to build churches. And some of us have got different callings on our lives, but Michael really feels that this is something that he wants, God wants him to do. So he's going to be sharing a little bit of that journey with us today. And I'll be, once Michael's finished, I'll just tell you a little bit more about Tumbleweed, where we're at, and how you guys can also possibly be involved as we move forward with that. But yeah, Michael and Annika, I just love you. Thank you again for all your support for our church, and we're looking forward to your ministry today.
Morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. To the eldership, thank you very much for having Annika and I. We really appreciate it. Don't take it for granted that you would have us. We really appreciate it. Thanks. Doug and Heather, thank you for your friendship. Really, really appreciate that. And Ruben, Josh and Jack, thank you for being such good friends with our son, Jaron. Really appreciate that as well. So my wife and I, we have two sons. Our eldest son is in Cape Town studying second year sound production. And Jaron is with us here today. Just want to say something about our chickens at home. We've got a number of chickens. One of them is quite particular. It's this black chicken with black feet, and it kind of looks like a bit of an eagle. It's a bit different. It lays blue eggs, and we affectionately call this hen Issy McFarlane because she was given to us by Reuben. And this chicken is different because when you walk out, the other chickens would, you know, they would run away, but this chicken runs to you. And if you hold out your arms, it will jump into your arms. And, you know, she gives you a beautiful cuddle. And kind of reminds me a little bit about the McFarlanes. They're a little bit different. They run towards you in times of trouble. They hugs are precious and affectionate. It's real. And so we really appreciate your friendship, guys. Thank you. About 23 years ago, 1999, I was walking, minding my own business, in a place called Wilderness. I was kind of in the wilderness for my life, and there was this open field. And I was walking, and from the front came this lady. She wore a black dress and sandal-like shoes, and she was with her family. And as I walked past her, the Holy Spirit said to me, "That is your wife." I still turned around and said, "What?" And so through mutual friends, you know, I was working in construction. I was working on a bridge at the time. And the engineer, I was working for the contracting firm, and the engineer that was on the bridge, he was just there for this project. And his wife was a pharmacist, and she worked as a locum in a pharmacy where my wife was, my future wife at that point, was working. And so I was friends with this couple, and I said, "Who is this girl that's in the pharmacy? You know, I recognize she's working in the pharmacy because I went to buy Tums for my indigestion. And I saw that she was there." And so Runel said, well, that's Annika. Do you want to take her for lunch? It's not like you're going to get married or anything. And so I said, that's... So she kind of arranged for us to go to lunch. And I took an old construction bucky. It wasn't washed. It was quite dirty. Because I wanted to see what how she would react. You see, so I picked her up in this construction bucky. In the meantime, I was driving a new Jetta. So I took her to McGinty's or somewhere in Wilderness, and we had lunch. I finished my lunch, and I had half of hers. And you know what? It must have been about, you know, from that it progressed, and we watched movies together. We watched one of the movies was Saving Private Ryan. It was blood, guts, and glory. I was enjoying the movie, but you know, she was kind of hiding in a corner. But and so I went away for the weekend, and I left my Jetta with her, the car keys, and said, "Well, please look after my car and come and fetch me from the airport." Back then, the company would send us once a month. You can go home. Went home, came back. But while I was at home, I said to my mother, "I think I met my future wife." And I said to her, "I tell you what, if you don't like her, that's okay. I'll get myself another mother." And so, and so I went, and she fetched me at the airport, and we went to a restaurant called Coyote Cactus in George. And I said to her, we had Mexican food. I finished my food and had half her plate. And I said to her, "I think you're my wife." Bearing in mind that we probably knew each other for about 10 days. And she said, "I know I'm your wife." You know, because God made a connection there. The first weekend I went home, remember I was a little bit in the wilderness of my life. I had long hair up to my shoulders. I had a beard. I was wearing a German trench coat. When you wore that coat, it reminded me of... I wore a German trench coat that came to my knees. I wore shorts, safety boots, and rugby socks. So it was quite a sight to behold. And so when I arrived meeting my future in-laws for the first time, Annika's mom said, "Annika, what kind of people are you bringing to the house?" That was the first weekend. The second weekend, I asked parents. And I said, you know, I really struggled to get the words out. Eventually, Annika chipped in and she said, "He wants to ask you to if we can get married." And the mom said, "What?" And her dad said, he just backed out laughing. So 8 months later, we got married. So we had known each other for 8 months when we got married. And that's how we met each other. It's a unique story. I don't think there's many of those stories, but that's my story, and I stick with it. And so, 23 years later, happily married with my beautiful bride, and I'm still trying to eat half of her plate of food. I don't know if you'd like to share your side of the story. There's always two sides. Yeah, but my wife, you know, she is she's a real precious treasure that the Lord's given me. I must just say that I see just the wisdom of God working through her life. Just in I've just been standing amazed to see how God uses her, and the gift of wisdom that operates through her is really really amazing. So, prior to that moment, when I walked through this field, about 2 weeks before that, I had a dream. And I was someone that lived a very sinful life. I had not known the Lord, but the Lord revealed Himself to me in a dream. And I woke up from that dream, and I just knew that God had spoken to me. It took me about 3 days. I was very emotional, but I sat in my office. There was no one around, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I said to Him, "Yes, Lord, I will follow You." And so the Lord gave me a dream, and He revealed Himself to me in dream. That's why, to me, dreams and visions are, it's an important way of how God communicates with me and with others. And so, the title of my message is Permission Granted to Dream Dreams and to Have a Vision for Your Life. I want to read from Acts chapter 2. From verse 14, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'You Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be explained to you so that you will know and understand. Listen closely to what I have to say. For these men are not drunk, as you imagine, for it is only the third hour of the day. But instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel.'" And then Simon Peter speaks about what the prophet Joel said. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So in context, the prophet Joel was about, he was operating as a prophet on the earth about 500 years prior to this moment. Now this moment is the Pentecost moment. It's the outpouring of the Spirit. 50 days after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. After Jesus was resurrected, He roamed the earth for 40 days in person. And in during that time, He said to His disciples, in Acts 1 verse 8, He says, "Wait for the promise to come." The promise being the Holy Spirit. And so this was that moment that happened. And Simon Peter was saying to the people, to the crowd, he was saying to them, this is the fulfillment of what this prophet spoke about 500 years. And so he's saying, in the last days, young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. And so we're living in that last days moment. Now, what is the last days? I want to present you with what I believe is the last days. It is the last days is from the first coming of Jesus to His second coming. That is the last days. Now, you can look at that. And some people look at that from two different perspectives, the last days. Some people look at it as, these are the last days. In other words, we're close to the end of the earth. Armageddon is about to happen. And you see a lot of that in America with and some places overseas where this thing of they building bunkers to live in. What do they call them? Doomsday preppers. That's a real thing for them. Now, the danger of living in this address is that you'll stop dreaming, because there's nothing to dream, to look out, you know, to look forward to in the future. This is a dangerous address to be in, and that's not my address. I'm on the other side. I'm over here. Where in the last days, this is a promise for us that we can get to dream dreams. And we get to have visions. And so it's a beautiful promise that we have, that in these last days, meaning that Jesus' second coming could be anywhere between now and 10,000 years, we get the opportunity. We get this promise to dream dreams and to have visions. So the title of my message really is Permission Granted to Dream Dreams and Have Vision for Your Life. Whether you're young, whether you're old, permission granted from heaven to dream dreams. It was October in 2021. I was in the shower and busy getting dressed, and I had a vision. You know, like this, the kind here that Acts chapter 2 speaks about. I saw Jesus, and I saw his face, and I saw Jesus looking down from heaven. He wasn't saying anything, yet I knew exactly what he was saying. His lips weren't moving, but I just looking at him, I knew exactly what he was saying to me. I saw Jesus look at the church. And I saw how he was looking at people in the church that was crying out to him. See, there's a segment of church that cries out to the Lord, saying, Lord, we worship under trees and we worship in the veld. We ask you to give us buildings. And I saw how the Lord looked at that. And there was an invitation for me to get involved. And that's how this whole thing came to being for us. It was through a vision. It's a very vivid vision of Jesus. You see, because it's almost like in the book of Exodus, when the Lord revealed himself to Moses through the burning bush, he said to Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people and I've come down to deliver them. The people being in bondage in Egypt. It was like this. The Lord heard the cry of people. And so I knew what to do. I sensed that I needed to take our business. We're a consulting firm of architects and engineers. We needed to make some changes in order to make this happen. And so I went to our lead elder at One Life Church, and I said to him, well, this is what I sense God saying. And so we started off with a church in Impendley. And they were meeting in a community hall. But then, you know, on a Sunday there would be a political rally, and then they'll come and take all the chairs or hijack the venue. And so we got involved. There was some land purchased, and we got involved. We were involved with the building of that church. And it has been the most amazing thing for us. I spoke with a friend of mine. His name is Jeremy. And I shared this vision with him. He said to me, Mike, let's start a non-profit company. So four of us started Idwala Rock Foundation, NPC. Idwala means a rock in Zulu, and it's based on the scripture where Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said to him, you are Cephas, the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. And so we started this NPC the past week that has gone by. We've been Section 18A registered with Revenue Services. It's been an amazing milestone, which we're grateful for. So we're moving forward, and it is Idwala Rock Foundation that's partnering with you to build this, to build Tumbleweed, and so we're grateful to be part of that journey. How do you get a vision from God? I've got a few points here. First point is you ask. About a week prior to me having this vision, I'd already forgotten, but I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, give me vision. You know, Proverbs talks about without vision, people perish. I didn't feel like I was perishing, but I felt like there's a gap in my life that I, you know, needed to fill. And so I asked the Lord for vision. Lo and behold, he gave me vision. And so first of all, if you're looking for vision for your life, ask the Lord. John 14, verse 12 to 14 in the Passion Translation. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring Him glory. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. The second point is see things through His eyes, through the eyes of Jesus. If you want perfect vision, then see things through His eyes. There's a scripture passage in the book of John. It is the part where He meets with a woman at the well. She's a Samaritan woman. Jesus was on His way, and He had to go through this Samaria province. And there's this little town called Sychar. And He goes there, and He sends His disciples. He's at this well, Jacob's well. He sends His disciples off to go get food. And this woman comes to draw water, and she's a Samaritan woman, and He's a Jew. So she encounters Him as the Messiah. It's a beautiful story. I'd love for you to read it. Disciples come back. They wonder, how is this that He's meeting with a woman? You know. But she goes off, and she goes into this town, and she tells the people, and she says to them, come and meet the man who told me everything about myself. John 4 verse 35 says, do not say it's still 4 months until harvest time comes. Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting. Remember, this lady went in and she told them, come meet this man. The town came out, and what Jesus saw was He saw a harvest. I'm sure the other disciples, in their unrenewed mind, saw many other things. You know, the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along, so there was animosity between them. So these disciples did not see what Jesus saw. But I want to say to you that I believe Jesus saw the future church when He saw the harvest. Jesus saw the future church. You know, when we were building in Mpendle, I was driving through the town, and I've been driving through communities, for my work many a times. But in the moments driving through Mpendle, there were moments where I just couldn't stop weeping, because I felt something of the Lord's heart for the people, because He sees the future church in every community. Point number three is the provision for kingdom. You see, when God gives us a vision, there will always be kingdom involved. You know, these points are my reflection of having vision and how it transpired. And in reflecting from that day in October when I had this vision, I realized that vision from God is synonymous with His kingdom. You know, Jesus taught His disciples to pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When God gives you a godly vision, it will always be surrounding the expansion of His kingdom here on earth. Provision for the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You know, Ephesians speaks about God giving us, He has good works prepared for us, even from before the foundations of the earth. So kingdom work is a good work. And you know what we found is in our company, our annual turnover quadrupled when we said yes to the vision. And we realized that this is God funding His kingdom, the expansion of His kingdom. And you know, the prospects of our business, I'll tell you what, It's looking very good. And we're getting, it's like a dream come true. We're getting involved in projects that I could only dream of. We're building malls. You know, I dreamt of designing malls. We're designing malls. We're doing communities, projects. It's really a dream come true for me. But I realized that God funds His kingdom. And the provision, pro, Latin word, means for. Provision is for the vision. You know, we as Christian, we're good with our Christianese. We've got these cliches. And I'm sure you've heard this one before, that if He can get it to you, He will get it through you. No, sorry, other way around. If He can get it through you, He will get it to you. That's true. It's really true. There's this one, a cliche. It says, on the one hand you receive, on the other hand you give. And on the way through there's plenty for you. It's true. We've seen it. We are blessed to be a blessing. God blesses us so we can be a blessing. What I found is when God gave us vision, others surrounded us and walked this path with us. And that's how Idwala came to being. Four people and their wives walking this thing through. And God will give you everything that you need, the resources to go through and do what He's called us to do. I've got a point here. Those were 3 points. I've got a main point here that says tumbleweed, the building, the temple, the dwelling, the church. So this is what's going to happen with tumbleweed is the plans were submitted. The plans are from Snap Church. Snap Church is a part of Judea Harvest. They're coming along with Crossways Church and Idwala Rock Foundation to build a church. Now, Snap Church, their vision is to build churches for God. They build on average 40 per annum. They've built in around 400 by now over a 10-year period. And it's because of a vision that God gave the founder there. They were going to be here today, but I just want to share something on the vision. Dr. Koola de Klerk, that leads Snap Church. This is what happened with him in a vision. He had a similar experience. We went and visited him in Gauteng, and this is what happened. He was fellowshipping one day, spending time with the Lord, and the Lord asked him a question. He said to him, Koola, if people want to reach out to me, what do they do? And he says, well, Lord, they can just call on you wherever they are, because you are ever present. And the Lord said to him, no, it's the church. People are in need in the world. They know that there's a church somewhere. And they find a door to knock on, because they know they can come. And the Lord said to him, build doors. And so they're building doors across Africa. And so Judea Harvest is part of the journey. And we're going to see tumbleweed being built. So tumbleweed is a portal frame steel structure. It's a lightweight structure that will be built with infill panels, 240 squares, can seat around 240 people. I want to read the scripture to you as I'm preparing to land. Ephesians 2 verse 19. This is in the MEV version. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the entire building, tightly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. It's all about perspective. When you and I drive through the town and the streets of Tumbleweed, what do we see? When we look at a building being built, what do we see? I'd like to propose that we see the things the way Jesus sees it. You and I see a building. Jesus sees the church. You and I see a community of people. Jesus sees the future church. Let's get involved in the kingdom of God, the expansion of kingdom here on earth. Friends, my wife and I, we're available to pray with folks afterwards, along with the elders. If you are here today and you lack vision, the Lord is giving out licenses today. You know, I've got a driver's license, but Acts chapter 2 is my license to dream. Say, Mike, you're just a daydreamer. Well, I'm licensed to be a daydreamer. You know, I've been dreaming for quite some time. In fact, I brought today my dream book. There's my dream book. And I don't have two hands, but I can just show you that these are dreams that I've captured over the years. I literally take some time away and I go find a quiet place. Sometimes it's a coffee shop. Sometimes it's somewhere in the field. But over years, I've just drawn pictures of what just what I felt the Lord show me. And just been dreaming. So this is my license to dream. This here contains agendas. And it contains minutes. With meetings with my CEO. The Holy Spirit. And I've seen a lot of these dreams come to fruition. Friends, you and me. In these last days. Permission to dream. License to dream. I'd love to pray for each one. In fact, can we do that now? Father, thank you for this moment. Holy Spirit, I ask that in each one's heart, you would birth a dream. Lord, those that have stopped dreaming, you will revive those dreams again. Lord, those that have laid dreams down, for whatever reason, Lord, would you blow on it again. Lord, those who lack vision, open the eyes of our hearts that we can see, Lord, and give us vision again, to see beyond what the natural sees, but to see the things that the way that you see them, Lord Jesus. Thank you today for permission to dream. Thank you today for license to dream, Lord. We receive that from you. Friends, while your eyes are closed, let's create this moment. It takes 30 seconds to a minute. We're just quiet before the Lord. Just in your own words, ask Him. I want to propose that we ask Him two things. Ask Him for a vision for your life. And number two is ask Him to give you vision to be able to see the things the way He sees it. Let's just take that moment now.